Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, December 4th, 2023. We are just 3 weeks out from Christmas. No, I'm not going to have a show on Christmas Day. In case anybody wants to ask that question. Okay, tonight we're going to pick up where we started last week with We the People. Excuse me, We the Kids. I'm reading something else here. We the Kids with Kevin Fobbs. But I'm going to start with the American Creed before we go there. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. And what do we say right after we say that? Or what do I say? I love my country. It's my government I am afraid of. And we have much to be afraid of. But tonight, I'm going to hold off on the usual rant because we want to get Kevin in here right away. This is in reference to the We the Kids, and we are the return of God to the America story. And it's really so important that we understand, you know, how many years ago they took God out of schools. And most people just don't truly appreciate how religion, God, faith, made such an impact on this country. That's why we are one nation under God. In God we trust. And there's so many that are trying to totally take that away. And the only reason you would try to take away that kind of culture from your society is because you want to change your society. You want to take it down. And that's really exactly what's been happening here in the United States of America, and it's up to us to change it. And with that being said, for everybody listening, I'm going to just have Kevin start talking, tell us all about what's going on with We the Kids, the campaign and everything. And we started this conversation last week. Karen gave us a little bit of an intro to what was happening, but Kevin's going to get into more of the details and the history and what we can do to participate and to assist. And if you want to have a call and have any questions, whatever, just be patient. We'll get there. But I want Kevin to have enough time to explain what's going on. That'll answer a lot of questions. And if you have any questions after that, we'll go from there. So with that being said, here is Kevin Fobbs, and he is obviously one of the key players of We the Kids. Hello, Kevin. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fantastic, Jerry. How are you?
Oh, I'm ready to go. We talked a little bit earlier. There's so much for you to cover. And I said I was going to give you as much time as you needed. So I'm going to. I did promise that, right? I said that.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and there's so much here. I was looking. I had visited the website. Plus you sent some information. There's just so much here. People really need to understand what's really happening and why this campaign is so important, what it truly means to the future of our country. What we see over there in Israel and with Hamas and everything, we have to appreciate how close it really is to us, and I don't know that everybody does. I know a lot of Americans don't appreciate that. So please go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then tell us about the campaign.
Okay, you know, I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share with your audience today, because what we have to understand is that America is really at the crossroads. We can make a choice this very moment, and that is to defend our Judeo-Christian values or to basically let Hamas and his Hamas supporters, which ends up being a lot of the base of the Democrat Party, but most importantly, those who are against our freedoms, those who are against our protections, those who actually want to see the taking away of what our rights are as Americans. And, you know, when you mentioned, Karen, and that's true, about 20 years ago, a group of us as patriots started an organization that would protect the northern boundary, because what we don't understand is that most people don't realize, too, that on the north, in the north, there is nothing there. I mean, you have a couple places where you can have immigration authorities, but basically it really is open, more open than even in the south. And so what we saw at that time is that a need to actually bring the nation's attention to what was happening in the north, because the Muslim terrorists that actually took down the Islamic terrorists who took down our infrastructure and tried to, because of 9/11, take down America, that should have put us on notice. But in fact, it actually did not, because we still have an open border and terrorists coming across the south. And even the administration has saw the uptick, a dramatic uptick. But what I want us to get kind of focused on is that if you can only imagine by comparison, because most people, when they look at numbers, they don't realize just what that really means. But take a look at 1,200 that were massacred in Israel on October 7th. That's the second Holocaust, the worst since the World War II Holocaust. But if you had to compare that with America, that would actually equal 44,000 American babies, mothers, fathers, the elderly, and families being murdered at once. And I think it's important for us to understand just how dire what we saw happen in Israel can happen here, because we believe that we have constitutional protections. We believe, actually, that this can't happen here because, you know, there's the law. But the reality is that if you ask any person that's Jewish or the Jewish faith, if you ask what's happened since that time, it has gone up. The actual anti-Semitic behaviors and attacks have gone up 400%. And that's important to understand, because someone would say, well, you know, there's this Palestine. Let me first make it very clear. There is no Palestine. And if you ask any person in the Gaza Strip, if you ask any person that actually is in Egypt or in some of the other Arabic countries, there is no Palestine. That's a fiction that's been put upon us, and it's been actually embraced. What you don't know, and what you may not understand sometimes, but as patriots, we know that, you know what, the details do matter. So I'm going to read something very quickly. In the founding document, that's important to understand what is really at stake for Israel. The Hamas 1988 founding charter says that they believe in the total eradication of the Jewish people. And I'm going to quote it. The time will not come until Muslims will fight the Jews and kill them. And so the Jews hide behind rocks and trees, which will cry, "Oh, Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come on and kill him." Now, that's important because this is their founding document. This is what governs Hamas. So when we look at the, quote, two-state solution, it would be as if during 9/11, when people ask if they're asking the same rules apply, let's say in 9/11, that would mean then that we would be handcuffed. We would not have gone into Afghanistan. We would not have gone into Iraq to eradicate Islamic extremists. Instead, we would let other people determine what the course of our nation and its right to defend itself would be. And that's what's really happening. So when you have these deniers who deny what actually happened, 1,200 babies, many unfortunately were either, now when I say massacre, I'm talking about massacre in the truest sense of what massacre is, not just a word. These babies were, some of them had their heads cut off. Some of them were put in ovens. Their parents were murdered. Some of these babies were murdered in front of their parents. Some of these babies and these children saw their parents being murdered, and then they were murdered. or captured in terms of 240 total. This is why when we as a people, and why we the kids as an organization decided that it would be important and yes, even essential for us to stand up as those who are protecting 100% of our future and actually governed by the Word of God. God does call us to protect and defend the defenseless. James 4:17 calls us for that. And I'm going to put two Bible verses together because I think it's important to understand why we the kids, because kids actually 100% of our future, but God says in Esther 4:14, for such a time as this. And then Isaiah 11:6, a child shall lead them. So our children, your children, are the future. And it's on them that they understand that the Judeo-Christian values that we have as Americans have to be protected. That's when you see Jewish families, Jewish students, afraid to go to class, afraid to think that they themselves could be attacked and will be attacked. And I think it's also important to understand the facts of what we see and what children are seeing. When you can see in the news that very same day of the 7th, within 24 hours, you had protests in support of Hamas and against the Jewish people in Australia and in Europe and in other places and here in America. So for me, there's nothing else that actually helps define us except our own faith and our own belief and our own Judeo-Christian values. And so when you have these Americans, when you have these students, when you have professors denying that this actually happened, and they try to make a moral equivalency between a massacre and what is happening in the Gaza Strip, when the Jewish people, the IDF, has made it very clear, and they can make it clear 100 times, and the people in America who support Hamas will still deny the truth. Give me an example. In 2022, there were 3,600, almost 3,700 incidents of assault, harassment, and vandalism against Jewish people in America. Now, they only make up about 4% of the population here in America, but they record almost 400% of the offenses that have been made in America, but they were against the Jewish people. Now, what people may ask, well, why is this happening on colleges and actually K through 12? Well, right now, the Department of Education finally is tracking these attacks. And there are 57 campuses, college campuses, K through 12. That's high school and junior high as well. And it's important to understand, again, the facts matter. In a report that was released by the Ohio Senate, 244, just in the school year, 2020 to 2021, there were 181 attacks. And that's important to understand. Each one of those attacks is something that's targeted at a Jewish student. So when we try to wrap our heads around, but how can that really be true on a college campus? Well, we know as conservatives and as Christians that when we speak out on college campuses, as many of us have done, we are attacked. We are actually chased in some cases, and there have been far too many of us who have spoken on college campuses, but are chased by these Antifa individuals who, according to Biden, it's only a myth. Well, it's not a myth when they're attacking you. It's not a myth when they're trying to take you out. It's not a myth when they're going after you and doxing you and releasing information about you so that you can be attacked at your home or in your church or where you work. These are not myths. And so as Americans, we believe, and for our children, that we have to let our children take the lead, and we, the kids, as an organization, we believe that God's word should help us understand why it is important, and also why the enforcement is important. The signing of the petition is really crucial, but there are other steps as well. And that's why one of the things that I'm going to quote, because it's really important, we support the rights and safety of Jewish students from sea to shining sea because as a nation, our laws, our constitution governs us from sea to shining sea. Unlike what we see screamed at the top of their lungs from some of these who are college professors, but many of these are just individuals who want to see the decimation of the Jewish people, they say from the river to the sea. Now, it's important to know the context of that because, again, just looking at what Hamas has said, they want the complete eradication, the elimination. They want to complete what the Nazis tried to do in World War II. And they have made this and turned it into a fever pitch around the globe. So it's not just in America. Over 200 protests have occurred in this nation. Now, if you thought about this, where would we think that this in the year 2023, that this could occur in our nation? Well, we do have context. That context is what we've seen in terms of conservatives. We know what happened in terms of J6. We know that you can be jailed for no reason. We know that you can be attacked for no reason. We know that you can be canceled for no reason. We've seen it happen. It is still happening. And now we see what's happening in terms of Jewish students and their families and what happened in terms of the second Holocaust on the 7th of October. We should feel that ourselves. And it is the lack of enforcement of a student code of conduct. I'm going to tell you something. Code of conduct does exist on probably the majority of the campuses in high schools and in colleges. It's just not being enforced. And it's that lack of enforcement. It's that looking the other way to deny the constitutional rights and freedom of Jewish students and families. It's purposeful. So it's also crucial that we stand together to ensure that such atrocities that we saw happen, that the deniers of those atrocities try to have us look the other way and make these moral equivalency arguments, which actually cannot be sustained because guess what? They took pictures. They actually recorded their atrocities. Hamas is not denying it. Hamas is celebrating what they did. And you can find it anywhere. I mean, it's on social media. So you can't, it's just that people who deny the Holocaust, people who deny the attacks, they are in their very being, I believe, that is evil. That is evil. And when you think about why it's important, well, I just said why it's important. It's not just because they're going to attack the Jewish people. It's not because in the Bible that God gave Israel to Jewish people. It's because as human beings, as people who believe and have the faith of God within us, that we have an obligation. And especially in this nation, in America, if you can attack the innocent, if you can actually destroy the very fabric of their being, if you can march in support of terrorism. Now think about this. They are marching. They are marching for terrorism, in support of terrorism, in support of barbaric practices. This is what they're doing. If you think about 2 weeks ago, actually, I believe it was last Monday, that it was announced, but it was the week before, where a teacher was actually rushed by a gang of students in a high school. It seemed to a couple hundred students, and she had to hide in her own school. Now, she taught at that school for 20 years, but for some reason, because she was at the march in support of the Jewish people in Washington that Tuesday, that these students, fueled by hate, not fueled by anything else but that, and tried to attack her and harm her, and she had to hide for 2 hours. Well, where were the people who are there to support her? Where was that enforcement of the code of conduct? The administration, this went on for a while, so the administration could have called the police. The administration could have used their own staff members to help stem this attack. But it is immoral that this attack can occur and keep occurring over and over again, where you find that cemeteries have been desecrated, where you see that people are moving and disrupting the actual movement of commerce. When I talk about, I'm talking about the, for example, 2 days ago, where you had a business in New York. There was a, just a bakery that was owned by a Jewish person who had immigrated from Israel. And you had, again, hundreds of people attacking. Now, I think that, I don't know, but I think that if you saw that happening to you, then the question would be, what would you do? How would you feel? Should anybody actually sign anything, a petition, to support what's happening if it were happening to you? How would you react? And what should be done? Because I can tell you, I've been around for a long time, and I've been involved in so many different issues as a conservative, as a Christian, as a Republican leader, as a reporter, that I've covered these issues. And I can tell you that most people, if they do not have the Spirit of God in them, they will look away. But like Teddy Roosevelt said, President Roosevelt made it very clear that there are two places that you can be. The choice is yours. You could be in the arena with God, in the arena fighting for justice, in the arena fighting for freedom. Their freedom is our freedom. Their justice is our justice. The injustice against them is an injustice against all of us. Or you can be on the other side, i.e., on the sidelines, talking about and pointing at some other person in some other direction, but not pointing the finger at yourself in terms of being responsible. So that's why we, the kids, we've adopted first the campaign, and you can go to the link, the campaign link, just and go to our page, wethekids.us, to find more, the information. But the code of conduct is pretty clear. You should, and the goal is pretty simple, to adopt and post the code of conduct to freedom from genocide and injustice policy, and the consequences for violation of policy by this, by those in the school who are either, and also for those who are looking at this, you have to put it on your website as well, so that people understand that you actually stand for something that is standing for justice. And the other part that's important is that the supporters, this goal here is to forbid all anti-genocide and anti-Semitic acts, including verbal, organized hate meetings and protests, social media postings that are against our freedom and against their freedom, desecration, or the destruction of Jewish students or supporters' property. That's been happening as well. All those things which are against the code of conduct, which are against what we believe in as a free people and as people who believe in justice, all those things are part of why we need this code of conduct to freedom from genocide and injustice policy. The next thing is to protect all students from purposeful and deliberate interference with the educational opportunity. That's important because you had students who are afraid to go to school. And in some cases, and on some college campuses, you had right-meaning people, students, who had to walk Jewish students to class in order so that they might be protected and not be subject to what we've seen in far too many videos on far too many campuses. They should not have to be in that position for that. Next is to report and record all violations of the policy by students or by teachers or by educational officials. That means that because we have college professors, we have actually teachers in schools, K through 12, who are doing exactly the same thing. They are spreading this anti-Semitic nonsense. And it's more than just nonsense. It's actually an attack, an assault on the selfhood of that child, of that student. And that if you fear to go to school, then your justice is going to be denied. And your realization that this can still happen at any time, that's fear. That's more than fear. That's an actual assault against your freedom. This has to be reported, again, to not just school officials, but it has to be reported to social services, because guess what? If that student who is engaged or students are engaged in these kinds of actions, then that should be reported and should be documented, both for social services, because then we have to take a look at, well, what about the parents? What are they aware that their child is engaging in these practices to attack and assault? And if they know this and they allow this, then that's a whole different story, and an investigation must be made for, again, in terms of their behavior and their approval. But also law enforcement, and I mean local law enforcement, federal law enforcement, and state enforcement officials, because, again, the documentation, if you don't document it, then for all intent and purpose, it does not exist. And most importantly, any student caught engaging in violence, verbal or social media intimidation, or physical harm against Jewish students will be suspended or expelled. Now, those 5 points are essential and should be part of a code of conduct. It should be the code of conduct as it relates to this situation. And you can actually use this as a tool. We believe, in terms of We the Kids, that this suggested code of conduct to freedom from genocide and injustice policy is just a step, a first step, because we need a discussion. We need an education, because many people really don't realize or understand just what's happening right now. So this can be used to educate and enlighten. And then also equally important, share this with 5 to 10 people in your circle. Share it with them, because that's how we grow this movement to recapture our Judeo-Christian values. Again, it is important for us to do this, because the first step to freedom, stand up. Because you either are standing up for God or you are sitting down for Satan. There is no middle ground here. And that petition link, again, the code of conduct, you can go to our We the Kids site. You can Google it. But it's important that you understand that if we are going to walk with justice in our spirit and freedom in our heart, then we must do the right thing and stand. And if you actually want more information, you can write us at we the kids team wethekidsteam@gmail.com. That's wethekidsteam@gmail.com. So I hope that this is informative. I am passionate about freedom, and I am passionate about God. And when God says at Esther 4:14, for such a time as this, this is that time. And Isaiah 11:6, a child shall lead them. So our children can lead us toward freedom by giving them the information and the opportunity and the empowerment and the guidance from us as parents and us as caring patriots and as Christians in this nation. And if we do that, then as a nation, we can and will have a future.
Hey, that's excellent information. And I kind of like what I said at the very beginning of the show, we've got to understand what this the true impact of what's happening, and it's really through the children we're going to save ourselves, because we have to change. We've allowed one or two generations to be totally brainwashed and not understanding what the role of God is in this country and how this all relates to what's happened to the Jewish people. And another Holocaust. We are facing another Holocaust. It's people need to really – this is real. This is really happening. And then the brainwashing that has taken place. I love the fact that you call out there is no such thing as Palestine. How many people truly believe this? And I'm like, read the history. It's not there. It's this.
No.
And it shows what has happened with the Palestine brainwashing. It shows you how easily people can be manipulated and brainwashed and whatever you want to call it to believe this. I want to make sure I put out there, say it again, that you can go to the We the Kids website, which is wethekids.com, or excuse me, wethekids.us, correct? wethekids.us, okay, to get the information. And then the other part of this is as part of the campaign, once you get the copy, you print up the copy of the campaign, the petition, I should say, the petition, sign it and everything else, and then send it to the schools. Send it to every school that's near you. Send it to – reach out to the schools to adopt it. That's part of the process too, right? To obviously,
absolutely.
Don't get this information and keep it. You got to share it, especially with the schools, to get to the kids.
Because, you know, what's interesting, Sally, is that most people don't realize that your school or your school district, they abide by state law. They should abide by state law. And what's interesting about that is that, which also governs the conduct of the officials as well as the students in that class and so or in that school. This, most people, we have a direct impact. We can have a direct impact to stop this kind of behavior dead. Because if we allow that, guess what? We've already seen what happened to us as Christians. We know what happened to us in terms of being canceled, and as conservatives. And the very fact that the foundation of our nation is Judeo-Christian, that's the foundation of our nation. And if we cannot do this, as Reverend King said in 1963 in his I Have a Dream speech, he said, it would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This is our moment. There should be no safe place for genocidal hatred in your neighborhood school or in any American school and in any American community in America. So this is the opportunity. This is your opportunity for you and your child or your family or your organization to be the eyes, ears, and voice of freedom in the arena of American justice and freedom. This is that time, and that time is now. The eyes, the ears, the voice. Use your eyes, use your ears, use your voice. Make that decision today. That's why we the kids, we exist, because God is real. God is real. His voice is real. So educate and enlighten yourself and share this. It is important, you know, and actually it is essential, because let me help you understand. Important is eating. But essential is breathing. And breathing is the life of our nation. Allow us to breathe. Allow us to grow. Allow us to thrive. Allow us to survive and thrive as a nation. So take that breath of freedom and not let Hamas supporters take that away from the Jewish people, from the Jewish students, and from our future as Americans.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, too, I tell people time and time again to go back to President George Washington's farewell address and how religion was there. And, of course, John Adams was famous for a free society is for only a religious and moral society. And we have to see how we've let this totally decline. Washington was also very famous on his quotes in reference to teaching the next generation Christianity. We have to raise Christian children type thing. And if we don't do that, we don't have the values, and we've allowed our country, the total decline of these values has allowed our country to be taken over and at risk of not existing anymore. It's much closer than people realize in the role of faith in a free society. I have Karen out here. Now, I know it's up to you if you can stay in a little bit longer, please feel free to. If you need to drop, that's okay too. But I got Karen out here, so wanted to go ahead and have her join in because I know she's been working with you on a lot of this stuff too. And anybody now, if you're ready to have some questions, feel free to call in, push one so that I see you're in the queue, and then ask any other questions and make sure you get involved. Hello, Karen. Are you there?
Yes, I am, and thank you, Kevin. That was very sobering, and hopefully people will record it and share it, because this information and what we are allowing to happen to our country cannot continue if we are going to continue as a country. We look at Israel as a foreign land, and it's not going to happen here. And we are sadly mistaken if we truly believe it's not going to happen here. And it doesn't mean that it's just going to happen to the Jews, because if you read anything about the Muslims and study anything about the Quran, they're not done. They were not done with the Jews. They are going to continue to move on, and the Christians will be next. And who knows who will be after that, the Buddhists, the Hindus. Their goal is to wipe everyone off this planet that does not believe in Allah the way they believe. If you are in any opposition to their belief system, to them, you are dead and should be dead. And that's what they intend to do. So it is very sobering and very important. And it is also important for people to understand they use this word colonialism, and they're trying to escape from Israel. Well, Israel pulled out of Gaza in 2005. They have not been in Gaza since 2005.
Yeah.
Right.
What they have done is they have given the people of Gaza money and technology.
Yeah.
So exactly who are the people in Gaza? Who are the Palestinians fighting? And yes, Palestine, it's kind of very confusing in the Middle East, because it was always an area that everybody fought over. And it was a very religious area. It was the birthplace of Judaism, the birthplace of Christianity. And Jerusalem, it is the high holy land of most religions, especially for America. And at that time, Israel, was part of an area called and connected to another area called Canaan. There was no Palestine. Palestine was just a region. It was nothing as what it was depicted to be through propaganda and misinformation. And wars were fought over this little tiny piece of land because of its holiness. But if we go back and we look at the Muslims, They have been doing this for thousands of years. This is
right.
nothing new with them. They continually fight because they feel that Islam is the only true religion of the world. And if you are not an Islamic Muslim, then you don't belong and should not be in existence. The other thing that's very part of the propaganda is that the Jewish people were considered the chosen people. They weren't chosen because they were better than anyone else. That was not what being chosen meant. It just meant
right.
that they interacted differently with God. That's all. That's all that was about. So that was blown out of proportion because now, oh, the Jews think they're better than everybody else. They think they're this. They think, no, that's not what this was about. They
right.
were broken up into tribes, and they had a covenant with God. That's what it was, period. And the Bible even says that God said this land will belong to the Jews, period. And the Jews and the Christians got along for a very long time. And unfortunately, every time the Muslims took over property in the area, they closed it off to the Jews and the Christians. So when the Muslims controlled Jerusalem, nobody else could go there. When the Jews controlled Jerusalem, everybody could go because they
mm-hmm.
believed that it is
yeah.
your right to interact with God. So
okay.
the sad part is we have a group of people that are trying to say America was not a godly country. America was not, that our founders had no interaction with God, that God had nothing to do with America. So their whole goal is to get rid of God and replace God with government. And that's
okay.
what the communists are doing. In the meantime, they have come together with the Muslims who just want to get rid of everybody. I always said that if the Jews and the Christians were out of the picture and all that was left were the communists and the Muslims, they would be fighting because the Muslims wouldn't stand for communism. So people
right.
really need to learn history, really need to understand what history is all about. But I want to thank you, Kevin, and everybody should be sharing. We the Kids, it is a fabulous program, bringing real American heroes to our children, not some cartoon figure that...
And bringing God.
bringing God
to the children.
Family. Yes, God, family, and country back to our children. Because this is
exactly.
what they are missing now. Who are they revering? Who's wonderful to them? Batman, Superman?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So we have to ground ourselves back in truth, and we have to not be afraid, as you said, Kevin. We have to make sure that we are no longer fearful, because if we don't speak out, we will lose our country. And we are
right.
very close right now.
Okay. Joe is calling in. I just opened the mic. Joe, I don't know if you have a question for Kevin
yeah.
or a comment.
Yeah.
And again, Joe, you let me know on your timeline.
Okay.
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, let's not give the Jews a free pass here. You know. All this. Let's not lick the boots here. The Jews. You know. A lot of the Jews. The Talmud, first of all, is that the practicing Talmud Jews over there are a very evil, evil group of people, okay? If anyone's ever read the Talmud, all right, they're just as bad as the Quran. And as a matter of fact, there was many of that group and sect over there, Israel, wanted to actually lock up Christians and deport them out of Israel. So that's not talked about in the corporate-owned Jewish media here in America. So, you know, so there's a lot of evil going on there and a lot of wrong and misinformation going. I'm not trying to bash the Jews or I'm not trying to bash Israel. I mean, Hamas is a terrorist organization, and what they did was wrong. But, you know, also they were created by both sides, the American CIA and the Netanyahu there, which has got a lot of skeletons in his closet.
Well, you know, can I comment? First of all, I hear what you're saying, but here's the reality. I look at not that what Hamas did was not wrong. It was barbaric. There's a difference between wrong and barbarism. There's a difference between killing and massacre. And I think this moral equivalency is something that too many people will try to use and divert attention from the act itself. It is the act of barbarism. It's like saying
a
black person. Let me finish. It's like saying to a black person, well, he was hung or lynched. There were 7,500 blacks who were lynched in America. Okay, but a lynching is not a hanging. A lynching is when you actually kill a person by shooting them, by stabbing them, and by burning them alive. That's a lynching.
Yeah.
So to say that this is something wrong. No, this is not. This is barbarism at its very core. So we can have a discussion about the history of the action, but on that day, it's like saying the Holocaust. It did happen. 6 million Jews did die. And how
they
died.
Didn't. No.
Well, you know,
that's a wrong number. That's an inflated number.
If it was 1,000, it is still barbaric. Okay? You can say, and people who want to argue numbers as opposed to atrocity, I have a problem with that. Because of the atrocity.
Well, they did die. They did die because the Allies bombed the camps for 9 months straight, and there was no – and you had typhus.
Here's the problem.
Are we going to speak facts? Are we going to speak facts or are we going to speak emotion?
No. What,
I mean,
let him finish a comment, and then we can go back to you. You know how this is when people talk over each other. We can't hear anything. So let Kevin finish his statement, and then I'll go back to you.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that, you know, I don't want to get into the history. I'm talking about an action of barbarism, an actual massacre. And a massacre is not just a bad thing that happened. A massacre, by its very definition, by what happened to these individuals. They were individuals. They were humans that were massacred with intent, and what was individualized with that intent. The cutting off of babies' heads is intentional. The burning them alive in an oven is intentional. The raping of mothers and women and children is intentional. That intentional act. There's a difference. This moral equivalency is a problem that I'm not, it's like excusing what happened. No, I'm looking at what happened on that day. This is what we're fighting against because it can and will happen again. And they've made that claim themselves. It's not just something me talking. That's reality. Those facts, actually, the barbarism is barbarism. Massacre is massacre, period.
Okay, massacre. You brought that up, I think, 10 times I counted now. Okay, yeah, so dropping bombs on Palestinians and massacring women and children, tens of thousands of them, is barbarian. Yes, I agree. Okay, so two wrongs don't make a right.
Well, again, you're making a moral equivalency. When I tell you that this is what's going to happen, and I give you warning, this is going to happen, I repeat, this is going to happen. That is far different when someone's sneaking across early in the morning, and just in a very barbaric way, no warning, no intent to warn, but to massacre, to take the life of innocent people and do it with such barbarism. That's different. That's, again, I don't want to get into
a
moral
equivalency. How many hostages have been interviewed now? And I don't hear any of those stories from the hostages on the way they were treated.
You know what? Then you have not been listening because they're on YouTube. You can find them anywhere. Just do YouTube. You can find that information.
No, I've searched. I can't find any.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you could point me out to them, I'd be glad to have you look at them, but I can't find any.
Well, I you know what? What I can do, I'll share that information with you, Sally, and then you can share that information. Because it's there.
Okay.
That's one of the challenges that of deniers who say, well, this did not happen. When Hamas did,
I'm not denying
Hamas,
it. I'm not denying anything. I'm not
saying,
denying
I'm not
it.
I'm just saying what I know. Not you. But what I know is that there are deniers who are saying, well, this never happened. And there are thousands of those who say that. When Hamas has taken videos themselves, and they actually show the information, they are proud of what they did. This is what they've done.
Yeah, real quick comment. At the same time, I think people don't forget back on 9/11, the celebration of killing all these Americans. They had no problem with the nearly 4,000 people who were killed. They celebrated it. This is the evilness, the true evilness. They're celebrating it, and of course, it's coming to us. It's evil in itself. What happened is evil. I don't know. You can call it anything else. But understand that evilness is not going to stay away from this homeland. We've been invaded on this homeland, and people better be ready for what's going to happen here.
We've also been invaded in many other ways also. You know, and you brought up the Holocaust, World War II. Everyone always does that. And it just seems like when you bash the Jews a little bit or you speak truth about the Jews and the numbers and how they inflate and their evil doings, all of a sudden they fly off the handle. I'm not going to discuss with that, and all of a sudden now we're deniers, you know? All I'm saying is I want to bring the facts here to the table, and it's like Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler never gave any direct order to murder or massacre anyone. There's no direct order found.
Oh, my God.
No direct order found. There is no direct order found, none, from Adolf Hitler to kill any Jews. That's a fact. Watch Europa, The Last Battle. Europa, The Last Battle, or The Greatest Story Never Told. Outlines the fact, gives you references, and historical footnotes that you can research on your own. You see, that's a denier. You're a denier.
No, I'm not a denier. Yeah. You know what? I'm a journalist.
You're mocking me. Facts to the table.
No, you're making facts.
Hold on, Joe. Let Kevin finish. Let Kevin go ahead and respond back. I have another caller coming in, and as much as sometimes it's frustrating to hear the going back and forth, because I know the people on this call are all patriots. I know they all love the Constitution and this Declaration and believe in this country, so I think it's a good discussion if we have a difference of opinion. So I'm glad we're having this discussion because we are the good people who are going to save this country. We truly are.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we need I want Kevin to go ahead and respond to some of the things that Joe was just saying. Joe, I got another caller coming in. I want to let them in here in just a minute.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that, you know, as a journalist, I've listened to people, all my experience as a journalist, who present statements of fact. And then when you look at the statements and look behind the quote, the fact that others have presented, they end up being opinions but not facts based upon actual facts. And that's why I say, you're actually entitled to your own statement but not your own set of facts. And that's what I say, because people will make these statements and then they go back and you take a look at what is presented, and what's presented is actually based upon someone else's feeling and opinion but not the actual statement of the actual proof that you can see, because we know as leaders that if a person, you can't find, quote, the direct order. Well, the Germans are very good about that. They're also very good about segmentation. So I'm not going to, I just understand what I have studied myself, and I'm not taking anything from you, Joe, as what you may have studied and what you did study. I'm just saying that right now, and I'm talking about the Holocaust, you can say it wasn't 6, you can say it wasn't 5, it wasn't 3, or whatever you might say, but we do know that based upon the records, and you can say that there were millions of Jews that were exterminated, because that's a fact. You can quibble about 6, 5, 3.
Why say 6, though? Why say because, 6 if it's not 6?
Well, no, I said that the numbers that I have looked at and what I've seen over the years has been 6 million. In totality. So again, if the argument is about 6 million as opposed to 5 million, we can agree, I believe, that millions of Jews were exterminated by the Nazis, period.
And the Russians.
Yeah. Okay, let me go ahead and let this other caller in real quick.
Yeah.
4953, can we get your first name, please? And let's see if it's opening or taking hold. Okay. Okay,
Pianchi? Pianchi. Yeah, King Leopold II massacred 10 million Congolese. And we know what Arthur Balfour was about. He was a staunch racist and a white supremacist. So was Theodore Herschel. Now, Nasser, the first president of modern times of Egypt, said they never going to have no peace. And if you look at the government, you know, when they done all of Operation Solomon, when they airlifted and brought Beta, Agar, Ethiopians back to Gaza, the Israeli government sterilized some of the black women and put them on birth control. Now, what the heck is that? And here's another kick. They had the males to recircumcise. I don't know how the hell they done that. But no, like Helen Thomas say, these people need to go back home. Someone told me, I listened to someone talking today on Hannity and talked about Jewish blood. What is Jewish blood? I asked the preacher, I said, what denomination are you, Baptist? Well, do you have Baptist blood? Nope. Ask a Lutheran, do you have Lutheran? Nope. If you follow a religion, adopt a religion, I wonder if Sammy Davis Jr., did he have Jewish blood? So it's not going to be a peace there. Would you? Thank you.
Okay. Not sure if there was a specific question, what the question is.
Yeah, I know.
Kevin, feel free to, feel free to respond if you'd like.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And I didn't hear what was said on Hannity's show, his video show. And again, I'm not looking for.
Well,
let me
tell you what I heard on Hannity, sir. I heard a caller call me and a female talk about they want to kill all Jewish blood. I thought we was human beings. People are not born with no religion. You see anything about a religion on your birth certificate? It's not there. This is some made up stuff. And these spiritual, invisible people talking to, who told Benjamin Netanyahu, who went to high school in Philadelphia, that was his land? Can you answer that for me, sir?
Yeah, I can. Number one, I think that if you think about his parents in the dual citizenship, like we have people who have dual citizenship. So if you are a citizen of Israel as well as the United States, That's your place. You, as a dual citizen, you can claim either one or both at the same time. Getting back to the question that you have or the statement that you made about blood, well, again, people are entitled to their own ignorance, and that's just a statement made on that show, on Hannity's show, that was made out of ignorance, but not because of out of fact. But in terms of fact, and the fact that, as you mentioned, there have been millions of people killed in Africa. And I have worked and continue to work with people in Africa, Nigeria, and other places as well. And the fact that America and our nation, in terms of the State Department and others, have ignored what's happened in Africa and continue to ignore and what has happened in Africa is immoral. And at the same time, what we see happening dealing with the facts on the plate at this moment in terms of October 7th, that is barbarism. So I'm not ignoring any barbarism, but right now dealing with what we're seeing happen and also what can happen here in America is what's important and essential as Americans and as patriots. Because the reality, yes, you mentioned what's happened, then I would say it is incumbent upon those who understand what's happening on the African continent that they stand up and they talk about it and they share that information become advocates.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Let's get to the American problem then. I made the statement earlier, and that's where we got kind of kicked it off. Are you not saying that today in our banking industry, in our Hollywood, our entertainment, in our journalism, in our newspaper business, any type of journalist or writing like Time Magazine or anything, are those industries not controlled majority by Jewish people?
Well,
absolutely.
You're making a statement that you're proposing to be a fact and saying that your heritage is actually incumbent upon what we see happening in these industries that you're speaking of, and making that statement as if that in and of itself means that they have a certain meaning against or for something. So I, you know, I, well, I can't even answer that because you're at, you're asking
well, the
me
Zionist,
to answer.
Okay. The Zionist,
well,
the Zionist.
Go ahead, Joe, real quick.
Well,
go ahead and ask the question, but I have another caller after you, Joe.
I have one more quick question, Sally.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll yield.
Okay.
I'll yield for a minute.
Well, when you go through, you know, I trade stocks. When you go in, you can find out who a company owns. Yes, you do find their names there. They don't hide them. They are there in the stock market, in newspaper, in media, especially in Hollywood. Don't you remember Metro, Goldman, and Meyer?
Yeah.
So this is my solution. America needs to keep Americans' tax dollars in Americans' pockets. Take care of your southern border and take care of this country and let those people work things out. Why are we going to be there for another 200 years giving money? That don't make any sense.
Well, you know, again, on a, in a national way, in terms of our own sovereignty and our own national protection and our own issues, it does make sense. Because if you don't have at least some organization, some country there to protect our interests here in America, then guess what? They will have that nuclear plant. They will launch those. They will actually see that a pocket bomb or whatever that device that they want to use, they will see that, and we'll see that here in America. So it is in our national interest to be able
those
to defend our interests.
No,
it's not.
It's just
an
assumption.
No,
it's just
it's
the population,
by
the population.
Own, by their own government. You know, it's not
in
my
opinion.
I'm looking
in
at 1933,
okay, for instance, okay, the population of Germany, of Jewish people, was 215,000. Okay, now we're not talking about Romania, Hungary, and everything where they all condensed, where you're saying they were all swiped up and then put in camps. If you take that population together, it equals a total of 756,000. You know, so when you say 6 million, and that's what the problem is why inflate the number, though, that much? Why 6? What, there has to be a reason behind it, and that's what that my problem is. Why? You know, it doesn't matter what is wrong or right.
Okay. You're talking about Germany. If you look at what they did in these other countries, ship them from France, ship them from these other countries that were not Britain, and move them to these camps. So it's not just those who lived in Germany proper, but these other countries as well.
Yes.
So I'm not going to argue the fact about 6 million or 5 million or whatever.
You brought the number up. That's all.
Hold on just a second. The research and what's out there, we can all say that's probably some things that are not properly recorded in history. I don't know about the actual figure. I'm not gonna make it say. The fact of the matter is a lot of people got killed. We have another caller out there. The other thing I want to comment on, too, that I think is relevant, and I think this is probably Sarge out there. It's the point. Now, some people – Should we be sending money to Ukraine? I don't think so. I don't, you know, how we spend our money and how we have our alliances out there. Obviously, we have a crazy administration.
We have an evil
administration that's trying to help destroy America, and we know some of the people that are behind it. So that is by itself one conversation. We've seen what's happened to the invasion here. We've seen what's happened to the refugees who were many, I'll be willing to say almost most, who are Islamic Muslims. And I've asked the question in the past, can you be a Muslim and be an American at the same time? Because I don't think – how can you be a Muslim congressional representative if you don't believe in the Constitution and the Bible?
I agree.
So we got those things going out there.
Who's got background noise?
Somebody's
background noise.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is. The relevance here is what we're seeing happen in Israel is a sign of what's coming here because they don't like the Jews or the Christians. But anybody who thinks that they like it, it's all part of, and this is what Jefferson warned us about, the Barbary pirates. How they were out there.
Right.
It wasn't that we did anything wrong. He said they're going to kill everybody who doesn't believe the same as them, and that is what's happening. And we're seeing it start again. But I do want to get. I believe this is large. Let's get Sarge in here and see what I think this is. Sarge, is that you?
ask and you shall receive, Sally. It'll be the How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Sarge. Hopefully you're enjoying this discussion and you have a question or a comment for Kevin, and then Kevin will let
yes,
you get back in.
The most definitely. Most definitely. I have a comment and I have a question for your guest. First of all, I'd like to say this because, look, when it comes to this discussion, I always try to boil the religious elements of it all together because they are admittedly interpretive for many people. I just say, but I think the historical record is much, much clearer. I'd say it began in the early first two decades of the 16th century when the Ottoman Sultan, Selim I, routed the Mamluk armies in Palestine. And Palestine, from that point on, the region of Palestine, not the nation of Palestine, because that never existed in world history, the region of Palestine came under the domination of the Ottoman Empire for 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
In 1917, the British Empire defeated the failing, weakened Ottoman Empire and then assumed a mandate of that territory. Now, what is unique about Israel is that unlike most nations in the world whose borders have been defined by war and conquest, the genesis, the creation of the State of Israel came about as a result of an international mandate with most of the nations of the world voting to create it. And not only did they create the nation of Israel, they created the nation of Palestine, a peace-state solution, which the Arabs completely rejected. Completely rejected. Said we don't want no part of a Jewish nation in our midst. And that's when all of the trouble began, the refusal to accept it. Now, I can understand how people could say they shouldn't have accepted it. Fine. At that point, it becomes a matter for force of arms. And in four separate times in history, Israel has decisively maintained its right to exist through force of arms. So here's what we got. Here's what we got right now. We got this situation that's festering and has festered because of this mutual enmity, but one side is almost completely non-conciliatory until recently, starting with the Camp David Accords in 1976. We had further ground game when Donald Trump negotiated the Solomon Accords, and so the Abraham Accords. And so here we are today with what happened to Israel. And I'm going to say something, folks. I understand Israel's hands aren't clean and everything. And I'm not saying that they are. They are a nation like any other. They do good and they do bad. And it's easy to point out the bad they do, just like we can do about the United States. But I'm telling you this much. No country that gets attacked in the manner that they did on October 7th that does not respond in a manner comparable to what Israel did does not deserve the right to exist as a sovereign nation, nor would it deserve the support of its citizenry. They did the proper thing by declaring war, and when you declare war, you put the other people on notice that you're going to behave in accordance with the internationally recognized rules for waging warfare. They're not conducting a police action. They are fighting a war against a recognized enemy, and they have declared themselves to be in that status. Now, when it comes to proportionality of war, I don't agree with that either. You go out in the war, you defeat your enemy. Look, the United States Army Air Force, in cooperation with the Royal Air Force Bomber Command, killed 635,000 German civilians in air raids. 635,000. How many Germans were killed? How many American citizens were killed in bombing raids by German aircraft? Zero. So things are not proportional when you wage war. The other guy starts it, Adolf Hitler declares war on the United States. The United States retaliated. Rightly or wrongly, that's why you want to avoid war. It's brutal. It's ugly. You're supposed to do everything you can do to prevent it from happening in the first place. But Israel has an absolute right to do what they're doing, given the magnitude of the attack against them. They don't have to be proportional. All they have to do is wage war in accordance with internationally recognized rules of land warfare that they are a signatory to under the Hague and Geneva Conventions. Now, having said that, my concern, first and foremost, is with the best interests of the United States. If those interests happen to coincide with Israel, so be it. If they don't, then we need to pursue our own course. We don't need to impede the Israelis in their efforts to protect their national security, but we don't need to be embroiled in it if we can avoid it. My question for your guest is this. If this conflict breaks out into a wider conflagration, if it involves direct combat or the potential of direct combat with Syria, Lebanon, Iran, and other countries, I would like your guest to tell me, what does he think the best response diplomatically and militarily of the United States should be?
Okay. I'll answer both. In terms of the diplomatic, well, let's first deal with the military, because the question would be what kind of attack. So we saw 77 attacks so far since October 15th, I believe, until now, on our interests, on our bases in Iraq and in Syria. So we know that. We also, they don't count what's happened in terms of the 7 to 15 attacks on our ships in the Mediterranean.
Oh, excuse me for 1 second real quick. There's some background noise. I'm not sure if somebody's doing something in the background or whatever. If you're not speaking, you might want to mute so that we're not hearing that background noise. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
Okay, so we look at that. If this expands into Lebanon because of Hezbollah, if this expands into Syria, again, because of Hezbollah, or if it expands into Yemen because of the Houthis, then the question is, what's the nature of that expansion? Is it a direct attack on, in the case of Yemen, it would be on the ships. If it's something in terms of Iraq, in terms of our bases, directly coming from Iran, not the proxies, but directly coming from Iran, my question is to do what Donald Trump would have done in the first place, is to attack their nuclear facilities, attack their oil refineries. The individual making of war and what you use for war in terms of supplies, that's what that response would be, because that would actually nullify Iran's ability. It also would nullify the money that it gives to the proxies in Iraq and in Syria and the Houthis and in Lebanon. So that's what I would do. In terms of diplomacy, again, what I would do is send, our State Department is pretty neutered because the president is neutered. So I don't really expect anything in terms of diplomatic anything from this administration, because what they intend on doing is to actually appease Iran, which they have been doing. But in terms of a military approach, this is what I would do. I would go to and drop an attack the oil fields, because that's the money maker for Iran. No oil, no money. We saw what happened after the 21st of January, because that day after he became president, what he actually ended up doing in his State Department is working on ways to, quote, drop sanctions that were used against Iran and allow them, instead of having $5 billion coming in, it ended up being $80 billion, in which that money, again, as we know, has been flowing. So I would attack Iran directly. I wouldn't go through in terms of, because that's what we're doing now. We're attacking empty buildings. We're attacking we're making pinpricks when we shouldn't make a statement. They only react to fear, the fear of decimation, their decimation. So if we're going to really make a point, then make the point.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Who did we sanction when Israel gave nuclear weapons to their apartheid government in South Africa? Who are they going to use them on? Elephants? And, you know, in the Mediterranean, there is natural gas deposits that the Palestinians are not allowed to develop. So why would you take away their means of economics And if Trump done like what you said he done, I would not vote for him, as much as I am a fan of his. That don't make any sense. Leave those people alone.
Okay, here's the thing. The question is, and I would like to take a look, and I will take a look at, you mentioned the oil deposits that were not being allowed. Is it the Hamas government? Now, the Hamas government is Hamas. They're a terrorist organization. So are they actually saying and making a statement that the Israeli government is not, quote, allowing them on their own territory to use the oil that's been on, that's in the sea, that's in their territory, in their area? I don't know that as a fact. I would like to find that out myself.
Well, why don't you find that out and you'd be better prepared to answer that question? But like I said before, you're talking about that Donald Trump needs to bomb Iran's facilities. That's ridiculous. Why no one bombed Israel's facilities when they gave nuclear weapons to South Africa? And they continue to fund other organizations around.
Hamas was created by Northcom CIA, just like Osama bin Laden. Okay, this is a game that they play, the strategic games that they play, the New World Order. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm all fine with saying Israel is entitled to the land; it's their land. We've got biblically history. Okay, fine. But the bottom line is this: is that the Palestinians, what are they going to do? Throw rocks at Israel and Hamas? Like I said, where are they getting these weapons from? They're being shipped in there. Gaza is completely sealed off from everywhere. There's no borders touching Gaza except Egypt, okay? I mean, come on. Where did this stuff come from? Where are these weapons?
Of course. And before you answer that question,
okay,
let's hold on.
I have another question for Kevin, too.
I'm going to leave after this. This stuff about some biblical voices telling people stuff is a bunch of crap. How far are we
going
to go? Can we go to Hansel and Greta?
Please don't Hansel and Gretel stuff. Stop that. Sarge, did you have one more question? Because, Kevin, you stayed on longer than
Yeah, I do. I do. So it would seem to me that Kevin envisions the possibility of the United States becoming embroiled in war in the Middle East. Now, the Pentagon did make it clear that it's dependent upon the circumstances, and he outlined courses of action that he believes should be taken if it were so. And admittedly, the United States does have a mutual defense assistance agreement with Israel since 1952 and a mutual logistics support agreement since 1991. Now, again, what I really want to get an idea of here, and I understand that you can't concretely give me jot and tittle exactly how it might come about, but I would like to get an idea as to what extent of involvement militarily with the state of Israel in a wider war that you think the American people, one, would accept, and number two, would be proper for them to do.
Okay, I don't believe that we should be involved in a, quote, a wider role, a wider role in terms of on the ground, because I don't think it's necessary for us to be involved in that kind of effort. I don't believe that there's, unless there was a direct attack where our own troops were killed. Like, for example, we know what happened at the in terms of the coal. So if that occurred, and then you can make a direct connection, because you can, in terms of Iran and its proxies, then the question is, you go after Iran, not the proxies, because they're going to keep doing it until they stop doing it, and they don't stop doing it until you go after that. You cut off the head of the snake. That's what you should do. So in terms of America being involved with troops on the ground, I don't see a purpose for that.
I was going to say, didn't Israel fire on the USS Liberty killing American soldiers?
When did this happen? What year?
You're going to have to be prepared when you come to some of these shows. I'm not, denigrating, but
I came. First of all, let me explain.
We're going to recap.
Yeah. Because
hold
I did
on
not
one,
come
one
to
second.
Talk about military.
No, you just got to do some research.
Okay.
No, I don't need to do anything.
Okay, we're
going to
kind of recap what the goal was here. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
First, this was about We the Kids and a campaign here to stop the crazy genocide, whatever you want to call it, that's happening right here with the Jewish community on the United States, on this homeland. This is, we're trying to, deprogram, whatever you want to call it, what's happened to the children today. Because they've been taking God, everything to do with our history has been twisted, taking God out of schools, taking totally removing God from our history, everything to do with this. And what we're seeing happen now because of what's going on in Israel, the insanity that's happening, it's going to come here. Look, it's already here. I shouldn't say it's going to come here. It's already here, the insanity that's in the streets. But this is where we need what are we doing to correct the problem? What are we doing to keep children from not being raised in a world of hate that they should kill all the Jews? Because right now that's what these kids are being raised to believe. We have got to change it. We have to get back to restore some of the core values of what this country's for and get rid of this other and that type of thing. Joe, you can say one quick thing, but then
June
I want to let
8th,
Kevin
1967.
Have
Yeah, I got it. I really got to go.
You got that date, June the 8th, 1967.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Sally, I'd just like to say to your guest, though, with all due respect, you know, I really would like to have a discussion where we can just talk the facts without the little digs, you know, that everybody's throwing in, these other callers, and then long, drawn-out explanations about an answer or a question. You know, so I'd like to go back and forth with facts and, you know, historical footnotes and facts and not just belief or opinion or emotional, you know, attacks. I would like to have that because I feel you're knowledgeable and you understand, but this narrative that you believe is a big narrative that a lot of people do believe. I just want the truth being told. That's all.
No, and I respect that. I'm just saying my purpose for today is the purpose that I mentioned in the beginning, which is still the purpose, is, as Sally mentioned, is to focus on what's happening right now in this moment, to talk and also to help our kids to understand what history is, what's really happening, what has happened in this moment right now. All the other things, if there's a need for me to come back to talk about that, I have no problem because that's another area that I, in my other lifetime of work, that I can talk about at that time. But at this moment, this is the focus that I'm on today.
Oh, and Kevin, just for your information, I just let you know, historically, historians now agree they revised the death count at Auschwitz down from 4 million to about a little bit over 2 million. Now, I'm not saying that's any better, but I'm just saying historians now agree the death count was not what it was originally stated to be at Auschwitz. This is a matter of historical record.
That's fine. I mean, I'm not, I can. Yeah.
Again, Kevin, I know you stayed on way longer than you had planned, I know, and I do appreciate that. And you're more than welcome if you want to continue, but I also know if you need to leave, that's okay.
No, I really have to go. I have to go because I'm way over, and I have another. But Sally, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share this information, what we're doing for kids and with kids and their parents for America, and being able to, again, do the things that matter for the future for our children. So I want to thank you for that opportunity.
And Kevin, June the 8th, 34 Americans were murdered. 34 Americans were murdered and 171 crew members were wounded. That was enough to go to war, I think. They should have bombed that country. Killing Americans?
We're getting off topic here a little bit. Karen, did you want to say any last words before Kevin drops off?
Yes, first of all, thank you very much, Kevin. And I will get with you later on so that we can go through the kids. To answer the other question, the Jews were not just killed in Germany. There were approximately 20 countries involved where Jews were killed. The population, the Jewish population before the war was something like 9 million people. 9 million people.
No.
Can I finish, please?
Joe,
there was a total population of approximately 9.4 million Jews within those 20 countries. Approximately two-thirds of them were killed, which would give about 6 million. And there were 20 countries that were involved. Hitler was not the only one that was fighting the Jews. They were being fought by the Muslims in Africa and by Mussolini. This was well-documented. It is not just Auschwitz that this happened. There were multiple camps in multiple places, and nobody really knows the true number. And besides Jews that were killed, there were many Christians.
Germans.
And they also went after the gypsies in Romania. There were lots of them that were killed as well. And it was documented. It is an approximate number. However, they are checking the records, which were kept by IBM, because IBM was the one that did all of the numbering. So who knows whether 5 million or 6 million, it was a number of millions. So
the thing is what conservatives do. This is what our problem conservatives do.
Okay, first off, we can't have everybody talking over each other. Kevin did have to drop off. He wasn't supposed to stay on nearly this long, so
blame him.
He has dropped off. We'll try to get him back on again to have a more general discussion about the subject matter versus the We the Kids piece, because there's obviously a lot of stuff going on. Some of the differences of opinions here. What I would like for everybody to do, we can have a separate show talking strictly about the history of Israel and the Jewish people and the Holocaust and whatever, because there's a lot of information out there, and there's people who are disagreeing with the history. So send me what you're putting out there as your history versus what some of the other history is, and then we can try to discuss that piece of it. It's better not to be insulting each other because you have a different idea about some of the history. We need to prove the history. Document the history out there, because I know there's a lot of different information.
Conservatives do this. They run away as soon as the topic gets – and conservatives – this is why conservatives are getting beat up around the country, because as soon as the topic gets the truth or facts, they run away. They run away,
I don't,
you know?
Hold on a second, everybody, please. I'm going to have to start muting people if I can't get a word in edgewise. Kevin, if you're saying Kevin was running away, no, he was only planning on being on the show for 30 to 40 minutes. So he's not running away. He actually had another obligation.
I apologize. Okay.
Yeah. He stayed on close to an hour more than what he was supposed to plan.
Sally?
I got a pretty please question. A pretty please question.
Okay.
Okay, she's talking about how many Baptists, Protestant, Lutheran, atheists, how many of them got killed?
Lots. I said that. Lots got killed.
Yeah, many.
I think we're somehow missing the point here of what the Hamas and the Barbary pirates did way back in the day too. There's an element out there that has taken very much control of this homeland, in addition to what's going on over there. And I think anybody I don't know what the people are part of. Some of you are saying yes, Israel has a right to defend herself, which I believe Israel does. It's an evil element that's doing that. It was also an evil element that did COVID. How many people died over COVID? You could call COVID a Holocaust, too, because that was all a big fraud of everything it did. And it was people like Bill Gates who were out there trying to kill us. So I guess for the next pandemic, let's go ahead and say, act like that was no big deal either. Creature is evil. There's an evilness within, unfortunately.
I agree with you, Sally. I agree with you. There's a lot of
evil. So let's get back to,
demon.
Are we going to defend our own homeland? And what do you truly think? Obviously, we don't know how to secure our own homeland because we have an invasion going on. What percentage of the population that's on this homeland right now, embedded, unknown, whatever else, is ready to destroy us. So what I see happening in Israel is going to be happening on this homeland, not probably before the next election, because there's people who don't want Trump in there. And there's those who will kill, who don't care about killing other people, who don't pay, just like these people who are in Congress, who, like I said, can you truly be a Muslim, Islamist, and be an American, too? How can you can take an oath, what's her name out there in Minnesota, Omar, how can she possibly take an oath to uphold this Constitution when she's trying to destroy it? This is what we have within our own land.
She was voted on by her constituency. And those that's protesting got a First Amendment right to protest. But one thing I agree with you.
Do you have the right to take over? If you want to talk about an insurrection, you should talk about those who are sworn to uphold the Constitution who are trying to destroy it, like that other Palestinian up there with her flag flying. These are people who are in power, who have been allowed to be in power. And also, one other thing, just go back to the good old Obama days. Why is Omar there? She was a refugee. Who put her there? Obama. What did Obama do over his term? He was out there planting groups of Islamist Muslims into different smaller communities so they could take over the local government. That is what they did. That was part of the plan. And if anybody doesn't realize that's what's happening, you probably think electronic machines are good for voting, too. you probably trust the electronic voting machine.
I didn't vote for Obama myself. But what I'm saying the emphasis should be America, American borders, illegals out. They got to come in the right way, not giving money across. I don't want to see a dime go to an African country, let alone Israel.
Okay, and then I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off there, but we got about 30 minutes left here, and I think we have quite a bit to discuss. I might run a few minutes over, but I can't take the full hour to run over tonight. The homeland. Why are we not? If you talk about Republicans, in fact, I was going to actually say talk about Republicans. The Republicans are truly worse than Democrats in many respects, because the Democrat is the enemy. We can see the enemy coming at us if you're paying attention at all. So they are the enemy. However, because the Democrats were much smarter than the Republicans, Republicans are about the stupidest people that are out there, okay? They truly are the stupidest. I don't care. If you take a loyal oath to a stupid Republican Party, you're an idiot as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, Trump wouldn't sign the oath to be in those debates and all that other insanity. But the Democrats said, well, Republicans are so stupid, we'll just take over their party. So the Democrats run as Republicans, they take over the party. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. How come Republicans are so stupid? So now you got a bunch of Republicans up there in Congress. They're killing off their own, getting rid of the one guy, Santos, whatever. And did the guy do wrong? I'm sure he did. But has he had his day in court? No. And, of course, the guy who openly admitted he tried to Bowman or whatever his name is, he openly admitted he was guilty of the crime. He's still there. They didn't care about that. The guy, the other senator with all the money, Manchin, I think is not Manchin, the other one, whatever. Menchez. Mendez, one of them. Oh, they all run together than me.
Mendez, he
was the one who with all the gold. And, of course, we have a president who's totally sold us out to all the world. But the Republicans are too stupid to do anything, because they've been taken over by a bunch of Democrats mostly. I mean, you know, the Republicans are the most pathetic. And this goes back to what Joe was saying about the Republicans are the ones that take off running. Go look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. And, of course, look at your own local houses. Look what happened here in Florida. We had a bunch of Republicans who signed away the rules, I should say, changed the rules so that DeSantis could run for president. And what has that turned out to be? Another mess. So the Republicans are the stupidest party out there. They are truly the idiots. So FISA, Republicans who support FISA. Talk about FISA. Does anybody care about that? Has anyone called and jumped on Johnson's case that they better not be pushing through? He's trying to backdoor some deal with FISA to extend it, something that's taken away all of our rights, going back to the Patriot Act. These are the Republicans. The Republicans are the stupid enemies. We already know the Democrats are, but the Democrats have taken over the Republican Party. So talk about a bunch of idiots.
Well,
anyway,
on the case with Santos, why come they don't do like the Tennessee House of Representatives done. They expelled two members, but the people raised up and raised so much cane, they put them back in. I don't see conservatives doing that here. If they think that Santos didn't do what he did, because the House has a right to do it.
Well, I do think, I really don't care for the word conservative. I'm looking for some constitutionalists. Do we have any out there? Are there any constitutionalists in the Republican Party? Now, Michael Johnson's supposed to be a constitutionalist. I don't know. You tell me. Do you think he is? So do we have any constitutionalists? The word conservative is totally misleading. Constitutionalists. The liberals, whatever you want to call the Democrats, Marxists, whatever. You can call them whatever you want to. But when it comes to Republicans, we need a few constitutionalists in the Republican Party. Do we have any? So what do you think they're going to defend?
Well, constitutionalists are not going to come out in numbers like you've seen the people in Nashville come out in order to get those two representatives back in their seats.
You're talking about state level. Talk about Washington, D.C. It was the Republicans who did it to begin with. It was the Republicans who allowed it. It would not have happened had it not been for the Republicans. There were not enough Democrats to do it alone. The Republicans were the ones who sold out once again.
I don't think there's a groundswell of support for Santos anywhere in the Republican Party sufficient to get him back in.
Well,
they weren't.
Who knows as far as the individuals? And we're talking about, we truly have a war in this homeland. People just don't want to quite accept that. It's not the same. We're not seeing the bombs drop in the same sense as we think of in some other wars. But there is a war for this country right now, and our elected have been taken over by the enemy. So that's, I don't care what anybody wants to say. Call it the enemy's from within. Does anybody truly think
that's
Biden
true.
is a friend of the United States of America? Or do you think Biden, of course, he's half brain. We know he's brain. He was always brain dead. He's just more brain dead now than he was in the past. But does anybody truly think Biden is going to save us? Do you think Hunter Biden is a friend of this country? You have all these enemies floating all around you. Mayorkas, so what do you think he is? Do you think he's helping us? These are the enemies that are planted there, and we have a Republican House that does nothing. It's useless. And they did, by getting rid of Santos, they got rid of one Republican vote. By everything I've been told, which I haven't checked myself, he was at least more constitutionalist than what the majority of Republicans are in there. I see.
I got
one other person who wants to chime in here. It looks like John. John, you there?
He has the highest grade of voting for MAGA, for the conservatives. That's why they got rid of him.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, the Republicans are the enemies from within. John, are you there? Did you want to comment?
Yes. What is the main subject?
If you don't know the main subject, I don't think you're going to comment. We're talking about the insanity of the Republican Party, which you and I have had many discussions over the years about. But the Republicans are just a bunch of idiots because, again, they've been taken over by the Democrats. So everything when you watch the Republican Party, you got to figure at least two-thirds of them
are
Democrats.
The Democrats are a bunch of goddamn criminal smartasses. That's all they are.
Republicans.
Do you understand that?
Yes, this is why people are asking the Republicans to save them. The Republicans aren't going to save us. It's up to us to save us. And what's happening in Israel is a reflection. Are the American people here ready to defend this homeland? Are they ready for your government isn't going to defend you. It's just not going to happen. It really isn't.
No, we're letting millions walk across the border. We're letting millions just walk across the border. No, we're not prepared. We're not defending it now.
Exactly. Well, exactly it. So while I hear people say about spending money or whatever, we're defending all the borders of everybody else, all the evildoers out there. We're defending their borders, but we're not defending our own. How insane is this? And how stupid are the American people if they let it go on? And so we have there's a small element, and I say small, as in the vast majority of Americans, I believe as most of us on this show are talking. I do believe most of us are Americans who truly believe in this country, believe in the freedom, believe in the Constitution, believe in this Declaration. But you've got this other element that's been embedded by evildoers such as Obama and company and Clinton and company and the Bushes and company, because the Bushes were Republicans too. Does anybody keep forget what the evil Republican Bushes have done to us? But you've got this element out there that has the money and the power, the George Soros and company, all the others, who are out there to destroy us, and we're here bickering amongst ourselves instead of
today,
trying to come up with a plan to figure it.
Well, today my name went on the ballot here in North Carolina, so I'm running. I believe in restoring our republic, the Constitution, implementing the Constitution, the original Constitution, and obeying the Constitution. And, you know, so, hey, I'm here in North Carolina. You know, people want to get behind me. I'm for the people, where the people's will. We have to, you know, so this corporation, this de facto corporation, is a corrupt, evil empire. And these Democrats, yes, these bubblehead Democrats, they are lost. So there's no point in even trying to make deals with them. No deals with the devil. We got to do what's right. There's still enough of us out there to make a change.
But how many Democrats do you think are literally in the Republican seats sitting as we speak today? I see Nathan wants to join in too, so I'll get to join in a minute. But seriously, when you think of and go to the state levels too, because of the garbage they've done right here in Florida, while it's not as bad as some other states, it hasn't been right either. It hasn't been constitutional by any means. But when you talk about the House of Representatives and, of course, that crazy Senate, look what the Republicans in the Senate do. I mean, they're pathetic. They're absolutely pathetic.
Yeah.
And I mean, what percentage of these between the House and the Senate, which, by the way, some people don't know the difference. We have two houses of Congress. One's called the House of Representatives. One's called the Senate. Some people don't seem to know that out there. Well, how many of those that are in the Republican seat are truly constitutionalist?
Yeah, they're rhinos, you know.
I was just going to say, They haven't even read the Constitution. They don't know what it is. They don't know even what it represents. And basically, they drank the Kool-Aid. They're making money hand over fist with all of this green garbage, so they don't care. And they are globalists, so it doesn't make any difference. They have no desire to have borders, because all of the world should be equal. They should all be balanced. Everybody should have the same thing. And the UN should run everything. And the world will go on because they will own and control everything, and we will have nothing. That's what their goal is. That's all they care about. And I would say there's about 50% of them that are in. Well, just look and see who voted to get rid of Santos, and those are the ones who are the globalists who are driving this train. We are in tremendous debt. The House has passed numerous bills. Guess who has killed them all? The Republicans. They have.
Yeah,
they
but we're not worried about the debt. The debt.
We should be worrying about the debt.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We should be worrying about it because it's driving inflation and it's driving up prices.
No.
And allowing all of these stupid programs.
I'm sorry. I mean, I like what you're saying, but no, I'm sorry. You're not representing the situation rightly. No, because the Federal Reserve controls our monetary policy in this country. Okay, we're way off target there by making those types of statements. That's not true. You know, it has nothing to do with anything. I mean, we've covered this so many times, Sally, the Federal Reserve.
Yeah,
and so
Nathan's out there wanting to join in. The thing that I would say, when it comes to the finances, what gets me about the Republicans, here they've had options to change some direction, like actually demand getting rid of the IRS agents that are out there trying all this other insanity, the defunding, things they could do to defund stuff, and they just keep promoting the garbage over and over again. But hold on, everybody. Let Nathan get in here. He's been waiting. Let me get Nathan in here. Like I say, we can run over about 10 or 15 minutes, but that's going to be about it for tonight. So anybody that's listening from the Internet, if you want to listen to the last 15 minutes of the show, you better call in and then to continue listening. Otherwise, you'll have to play it back after. Nathan, are you there?
Yes. Listen, I want to say everything that
all the people said about all them bad things about the Democrats, I agree with you 100%. But we got to agree that the Democrats are the lesser of the two evils, because whatever the subject, they'll tell you they believe in abortion, they'll tell you they believe in Obamacare, and those parties have their origin in the Republican Party, and they vote 100-0 for it.
You know your enemy. When you're facing the Democrats, you know your enemy. It's the Republicans who are have been taken over by the Democrats. The Democrats are the smart ones who knew how to take over the other party and convert the country and do this other insanity.
And,
so, yeah, we don't trust Republicans. You cannot trust a Republican.
If the Democrats are so smart, why couldn't Hillary Clinton get elected?
Well, John, you're missing Trump,
and there's no match. There's no match with Trump.
I'm going to have to start muting people because we can't talk over each other.
Okay.
Now, John, here's the answer, John. When Hillary Clinton was running. They thought they had the numbers rigged right. They didn't realize how screwed up they did it. They never had any – in their wildest dreams, they never thought Trump could get elected. So they rigged the system. They did it so that they figured they would have just – okay. I'm going to have to mute you because you won't listen to me. Okay. The point is the Democrats and both parties have rigged the machines. We've already got that. That's
yes.
proof. Both parties have rigged the machines. But in this case here, Clinton and company, they had their own game going on where they thought they didn't want to go and have Hillary win by 90% in every single state. It kind of would look obvious. So they thought they knew how to tweak it and that she would just get enough in the key states and this and that to win, because they just truly never thought that Trump could win. Just like kind of in the past, people thought that Obama would never win. How many Republicans were stupid enough to think that Obama would never win? You know, so it's a stupidity on both sides and the stupidity of the average American voter, to be honest. That's where we got to go back to where this really comes from, of playing these kind of games. So that's why Hillary didn't get elected the first time. They didn't rig the system quite right. But guess what they did in 2020? When they still weren't getting the system rigged the right way, when they still didn't have the numbers, they shut the system down. Plus they had COVID. Plus they had fake ballots. Plus they did all the things to make sure that he didn't get reelected, because they know how much they screwed up in 2016 and he got elected. So that's the case on that one. Anybody can have some reason to tell me why that's not true? Go for it.
Here's the thing, Sally. One thing that nobody wanted, they keep telling us what we want, what they think we're going to hear. One thing they were saying was the Republicans were going to lose, okay, that Trump couldn't win, and Trump won. And part of it was because Hillary was having these neurological responses. You would ask her a question, and her head would start bobbing off kind of like Biden. And there was something medically going on there, and no one would acknowledge it. You'd see the lady walking, and the security guard catches her from falling into a car. And they just pretend that this stuff and just get it off, you know, make sure nobody's following her. And they were saying the same thing. Even the Christian community media was saying nobody wanted Trump. And guess what? As soon as the real numbers showed up, and a guy told me this, a pastor out in Oklahoma told me there's no way he can win. All I did is went to his state and showed him how many Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, sent it back, and I said, now keep telling me about your polls, but you're going to eat this, sir. You will eat this. The people are talking and they're not being heard, and it makes it. And all we keep hearing is Republicans, y'all need to show up to beat the Democrats. You show me the Republicans. I'm having a hard time getting excited about this guy, the new speaker, because I've seen this happen before. They bring a guy up right before an election time, the Republicans. He's a rock star, and he gets us all excited about our Christian values, and we run down there and vote for the guy, and then guess what? We find out he's got horns afterwards. And, you know, I know he's got some really good resume in him, but you know what? He's also a Republican,
And, you know, you no, we got to stop this idol worship and just you know, they that we you can I can never ask him a real question. If I see something in his history, I still can't get over right now. Ted Cruz can stand up anywhere, and you could ask him about Obamacare. Now we need to get rid of start trashing
yeah,
Obama.
Yeah, let's not get into.
You know,
I don't want to talk about Cruz and Obamacare. Nathan, you're missing the point. The Republican Party has been taken over by a bunch of idiots. There is no Republican Party.
They never were taken over. This is not the Republican Party of Lincoln. This is the Whig Party.
I'm not going to go back to that either. We're talking about the Wiccas and whatever.
One of the other problems you're talking about, the difference between Democrats and Republicans, you got some major, large population of voters that ain't never seen a Republican. St. Louis haven't had a Republican in 73 years.
That is why I am out there trying to get back to the open primaries like we should be doing. Now, I'm going to take some kind of action to try to force the issue that, which I did, by the way, I have contacted Speaker Johnson. I've called his office. I called the Speaker's office. I called one of his representative offices. I sent him an email, and I'm asking others to do the same because he professes to be a constitutional attorney. He actually has recited the Constitution on the House floor, which is, like, amazing. Not too many have done that, even though he may not do it 100%. We know there's this thing called games and politics in Washington, D.C., and he's actually said something about God in the House of Representatives. I think that by itself is pretty amazing. He's done some things that I know some other ones won't do. So I'm asking people to contact him about the 24th Amendment and give us all the rights for the open primaries. What happens if we have open primaries? Right now you've got Democrats and Republicans who are too scared to even think of doing something like that, to allow the people to vote.
Open primaries without parties. Open primary because there is no parties in the Constitution.
Well, when it comes to political parties, should not be designated on the ballot. Now, when you come to if an organization like the DNC and the RNC, they are private entities. If they want to go have their own club and have their own convention and have their own nomination, whatever they want to do, they do that as a private entity and nothing to do with the public ballot. So that is my stance on that one. Only the people who get qualified and to be on the ballot, which we play all sorts of games with who's allowed to be on the ballot kind of thing, and the way we try to twist that as well. But the whole point is it should not be two parties controlling the ballot, which is exactly what I said in my communication with Speaker Johnson. I would encourage others to do that too. How many people listening out there have contacted anybody, have called any of their representatives or the speaker and said something? I know that Nathan has.
I have too.
I don't know who else has.
Remember, I did it on my show.
Oh, that's right. You did it right on the show. That's right. But and we need to get everybody to do it, and we need to get people who will challenge it in a court of law that they're being denied their right to vote. I'm going to go register as a Republican right before it. And I'm going to make sure it's public record that I was forced to do this in order to participate in the primary. Then I'm going to do what I can to get a civil suit going to say they denied me my rights. I'm trying to get other people who are willing to do that. How many people are willing to go do that? I don't know.
You know, Sally, the Supreme Court has on record, I'm sure they'll never do anything with it, but Mr. Tolbert showed me the signature of the envelope being signed and returned, but every year I write the governor and the Division of Elections, and I go through the Constitution showing how my right has been denied to vote in the primaries, and the last one, 20, Mr. Tolbert, printed it off and wrote an envelope and mailed it. Return signature, and it's my case of being denied the right to vote in any primary has been documented in the Supreme Court. I doubt they'll take it because, you know, they were appointed by the Republicans and Democrats, so they kind of like, you know, they owe the party. So they're not going to take up something like that.
If we have a class action suit with enough people engaged, I think we would get their attention. I totally agree. If I'm the only one who does this, it's not going to matter. They're going to laugh and say, "Oh, you silly person! Didn't your state has the right to do this? Your state has the right to select the elector and blah 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 blah." That's what they're going to say, unless we have people actually doing something. One person alone, I don't think is going to make a difference on the political parties. It's going to take, we have what, 50%+ of the people. It's over 50% that are not Democrats or Republicans.
But if you can't get those people engaged, then I have a little problem with that. What I do on my own. I'll tell other people and get in disagreements and stuff. But what I do on my own, because if we got to get in groups, and that means somebody's in charge of the groups. And we saw this with the Tea Party. The Tea Party broke away, and the Republicans jumped out and got them organized. No more Republicans, no more lawyers to hold
this. If you think you can win the battle alone, go for it. If you think you can win,
all I'm
going
to do is speak my mind.
Country,
I can't join the group because the people running the group is going to be deciding where we're going.
Well, unfortunately, I understand a lot of what you're saying there. Everybody wants to be in charge. Everybody thinks they get the best solution.
No, I'm not talking about that.
So let's continue to do like we're doing now, because what we're doing now has been so successful. We are really helping to save our country right now, aren't we? We're really doing good. So I think we should continue on the same pattern because it's working
so
well.
But Sally, we did this with the Republic, with the people raising up, going taking to the street, to the parks, and yelling out. It was so loud you couldn't ignore it. But guess what? The Republicans jumped in front of it with the message, re-elect
Nathan.
A Republican and hold their feet to the fire. And guess what? Look at where we're at, because they got us organized.
Okay. No, that was back in the early days of the Tea Party, because I know exactly what you're talking about. And I can also tell you, I think probably back then at that Tea Party, at that very moment, those Republicans – probably would not have voted for Trump. I don't think they would have, because things were different then. Things have changed. In case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of people actually leaving the Democrat Party to go to the Republicans, or leaving both parties altogether, or those who are actually looking at Robert F. Kennedy as an independent to do this. So the something has changed out there. If you haven't noticed that in the political arena out there, things have changed. I don't think you're paying attention to what all is happening all over the place out there.
Hold on, Nathan.
Please let me finish, Nathan. If you think that you can win the battle all by yourself for this country, go for it. I don't think you can. I think it's up to the American people to come together and be united and say, we want our country back. We are going to demand we get our country back. We are going to demand it's our ballot box. If you think you can do it alone, go for it. I don't think it's going to be one person going to do this. I think it's that united we stand, divided we fall kind of thing.
But Sally, here's what Kennedy's doing. Kennedy sees that everybody's walking away from parties. And guess what? Mm-hmm. He decides, when I switch over to independent, then I'm taking some of them loyal Democrats with me, and I can tap into the independents. So he's doing the same thing that I'm saying, is when they see where the people are going, they're jumping in front of them, and they got to get us organized.
You're just not facing the reality of where we're standing right this moment. In a perfect world, we'd have honest people. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have Hamas out there trying to kill everybody. It would be a lot of things that would be different in a perfect world. And if you think you can fight the element the way you're doing it, go for it. But I don't think it's going to work that way. We are at war.
But Sally, see, you're not facing the reality. You got a large contingency of blacks in this country that when they hear you say we want to take our country back, they think of Jim Crow and all those other periods. And you also got a large contingency of young ones that have sympathy with Palestine in some way.
Well, we have a lot of blacks that believe in the 1619 Project too, and we need to educate people across the board of every race. And if you think you're going to find, go. I don't know what you think you're going to do out there.
I tell you what would go a long way. We could just educate many of these black people the distinction between chattel slavery and slavery for a crime of which you have been duly convicted. Maybe if we explain the differences, maybe they wouldn't get so upset. Maybe.
Well,
we don't understand
the true history. There's much garbage, and slavery is very active today. People don't want to act like slavery is very active today, and it's not all based on race. Slavery is across the board in many respects today. But people, especially China, is China anything but a bunch of slaves?
Yeah, but China is not the United States, Alec. Come on now.
Yeah, but we got sexual slavery here in America.
Yeah, they're called illegals.
Illegal aliens being trafficked into slavery right here.
Exactly. Yes, you know. So let's talk about the slavery of today.
If you think we need to educate the people, nobody on this line would be here when it gets half near what it needs to be. We'd be all gone and turned to dust.
Yep.
Well, dear Lord, I'm going to turn to the dear Lord and hopefully we can get back to God, which is part of what the show started out to be about, putting God back in America's story. If God's not here, we ain't going to be here either. So it's I have no doubt in my mind. If we totally reject God, then we're not going to be here either. And if people want to continue with the status quo like we're doing now and you think it's going to change things, good luck with it. Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to help us. I think you're going to harm us. I think you're going to be part
of
the problem.
Fix everything old and try everything new. You know, I mean, we just can't, you know, go that close.
Yeah. Anyway, we do need to start kind of wrapping up here. It's been an interesting discussion, and Nathan, I agree with much of what you say on the Republican Party. I don't disagree that part, but some of it is it's old news in the sense it can't be part of the plan today. We're in a different war. The things have changed. If people would have been educated back, we would not have allowed the Department of Education at the federal level to take over education at the state level and the local level, we might still
Republican
have God in schools
policy.
Today.
Republican
but
policy.
It's both. If you think the Democrats are the Christian holy people, no. The Democrats were the smart ones who took over the Republican Party in full force. How strong was the Republican Party ever? I don't know.
The Republican Party died with Lincoln. The Whigs was over, and they disbanded and flooded the Republican Party, the small party that wasn't even in all the states. The Whigs flooded them like a legion of demons and put us right back on track. And the Whig Party was a party, political party sent over here by the king because he lost the war, so he's got to take us back politically. So this here is the Whig Party.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. You're not going to get – if you think I have some loyalty to this Republican Party, you're wrong. And I wish Trump would have taken a different path when he decided to run for reelection. I wish he would be out there with Kennedy on the independent path, and let's see what real Americans vote for instead of stupid party politics. The party
and I hope Trump picks Sarge as his running mate. And I'm not joking
that
about
would be
that.
Good.
I'm not joking. I'm serious about that.
Because
Sarge would get out there. He's a lot of information, and he would be the perfect candidate to be groomed for the next president after Trump finishes his four-year term.
What was that
I
last statement?
I hope Trump's listening to
show
so he can hear Sarge.
Sarge, are you accepting the VP position?
Say again?
Are you accepting the VP position?
If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve.
Okay, I think that answers that. But I would hope at a minimum you would be willing to be an advisor to President Trump.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And by the way, gentlemen, I do appreciate your support and the fact that you regard me so highly. But nonetheless, I'm telling you right now, I'm too conservative even for Trump.
Yeah, but you can move him to the right.
I do my best.
Give him some advice.
As an advisor,
okay.
I would do my best.
And with that being said, we're going to do a quick roundtable and everybody put in their final words for this evening. It's been a very lively discussion. And dear Lord, help us. That's all I can say. Dear Lord, help us. Sarge, you go ahead. And what would you like to say as we wrap it up here?
Well, yeah, I love the conversation, even with people I didn't agree with. I love this sort of conversation. You get to cover all the bases. Everybody gets to examine anybody else's belief. Some of my beliefs have been changed somewhat by some of the things I've heard, and I think that's great, and I hope we continue to do this because it's essential. But remember one thing, bottom line, whatever is done should be done in the best interest of the United States and its people. That is always my bottom line.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Nathan, any last words you want to chime in?
Yeah, yes, yes. My gift to everybody tonight is I put a movie in the chat room. It's a true World War II story that happened on Christmas Day. It happened on Christmas Day. I was listening to this. I listened to the beginning with everybody, cats and dogs scratching each other, and I'm like, this is the movie they need to see. Because we had German troops and American troops stuck it together in a house, and the lady that owned the house demanded they disarm, leave their weapons outside. And then later this German soldier came by, pretending to be an American soldier, and then basically, you know, turned on the Americans because they thought he was a comrade, and then the German soldiers turned on him and gave him as a captive, and they went on about their way. This is a true story in American history. It makes your heart mushy.
Yes, it is.
Let me see if I can pull it up right here. I got it. Okay, it's called. Oh man.
I'm looking through the chat and I don't see it, so maybe I'm just missing it. I don't know.
No, it's there. I just looked at it. Okay, I'll read it to you here. Let me bring it up on YouTube. It's called Silent Night, full movie, 2002, Christmas Day, World War II. Silent Night.
Yeah, it's true story.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
It happened in Belgium. Okay. It happened in Belgium during the Battle of Belgium,
yes.
The Ardennes.
Yes, you know it. You know it. Silent Night, 2002, Christmas drama, World War II. True story, Linda Hamilton. Y'all have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas. We will be here next week. Yep. Okay. Thank you, Nathan, as always. Who's next?
And I'm going to leave. Just Bianchi. If I was president,
okay.
I'd do two things immediately. One, I would announce there would be no foreign aid to nobody. The second thing I would announce is the United States is not paying the interest of the debt. Goodbye. Then I'd call Joe Gibson up and ask him.
I like it. Washington did not believe in us getting involved in anything else like that either. Washington would not be happy with everything that's going on today.
Congress's
so,
job to do that stuff.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I also just a quick update before you drop off there. I am planning in the next couple of weeks, so again, no show on Christmas. Sorry, I'm not going to do a show Christmas Day. But I'm hoping to do it either next week or the following week. The history of voting, we're going to talk about, I believe it's the Voting Act of 1877, which was kind of interesting. We need to talk about what's happened over the years and when the states had full rights over voting rights and then the 24th Amendment and some other things happened. And then also what's the definition of citizenship, what it meant to be how we've changed how anybody can become a citizen just by coming over the border illegally and whatever else, all the other insanity. So I think those are two important topics we should cover before the end of the year to be ready for next year, which is going to be interesting. So, okay, let's see, who else? Joe, are you still there?
Yes. Real quick, does anybody want to do it? I don't know if any shows are on after Sally's. If you guys want me to do a follow-up show, I will. I mean, it's up to you guys. I mean, I really don't care. I mean, I'll do it if you guys want to. If I'm going to have the people on there. Sarge, you want me to, or Bianchi, anybody? If not, that's
I
fine.
I send them that emotion if you're willing to go through the ordeal.
Yeah, man. All right, I'll do it. All right, but anyway, yeah, thanks, Sally. Good conversation. Like I said, I'm running here in North Carolina, and I support your podcast show. I'm glad you support mine, and we need to stick together and keep our voices strong and continue fighting for the Republic.
Absolutely. Joe, thank you so much. I'll try to join if I have time, but I won't make any promises to join in the show after
that's
this because I've got to take care of some other stuff. Thank you. Okay, let's see. Who's still out there? Is John still out there? John, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
I'll be with. Okay, John, go ahead quickly.
I just want everyone to recognize that our cities are going down the drain because of the Democrat leadership. They have destroyed New York, and they have destroyed Washington, D.C. Yes,
Republicans taught them right.
Last week, an FBI agent was carjacked in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Yep. This is true.
They have destroyed their own cities to the point where they can't fix them with their
New York.
Illegal aliens coming in, bringing them in. They've destroyed their own city.
This is true. Okay.
Take a look at that wild-eyed. Take a look at that wild-eyed representative in New York City.
Okay. We definitely know the mayor. New York's always crazy. California's crazy. The people say the way the California goes, the way the country goes, that's pretty scary to me. So, okay, well, thank you for that info, John. We can maybe continue that discussion next week when we talk about citizenship and what it really means. And because we're running out of time here, I'm just about down to the wire. Karen, are you still there?
Yes, I am still here. Thank you. What a wonderful conversation. It was really terrific. And
all of a sudden you started fading out.
Oh, everyone prompted me to look up something because it was bothering me about I think it was Sarge, I don't remember, who said it about the U.S. Liberty. USS Liberty and the Israelis firing on it. This was an incident that happened when I was graduating college. Remember it? It was the Civil War that Israel was fighting against Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. And I'm not going to go through the details, but in the end, after everything was said and done, Israel apologized profusely and said it was human error on their part. They actually thought it was an Egyptian ship, and that these things happened during war. There was an apology, it was accepted, and that was the incident. There are so many things that have happened, and our history is so skewed, it's really quite sad. The most important thing is that we are Americans, and we have to start working together. Having conversations like this is enlightening because everybody shares an opinion as they come from different places. But in the end, we have to come together. I certainly do agree that there should be no money going to anybody other than our southern and now our northern border. And I don't know how, but if President Trump is right and can get rid of the people that have been invading us because the globalists have no desire to have a border, they don't even want a country. And they are doing this around the world. This is not just happening in America. But we need to pay attention to our country. We need to pay attention to our children and make sure that our children know our history, and not the history that some historian from Europe or someplace else or some communist writes, which is what is happening right now. And the only way that it's going to be solved is if we the people solve it. So there is no choice. We have to come together. We have to have solutions. And we have to have the right people in office. And it's not going to stop with just Donald Trump. We have to make sure that our local elections, both state and federal, are filled with the right people, because right now we have a supermajority in Florida, which means absolutely nothing. We have a supermajority of Republicans who can't even come together and have election integrity, in as much as allowing only citizens to be voters in the state. What's going on
absolutely.
It's up to us to make that change. And if we don't do it, nobody will. Nobody's coming over the hill to save us except ourselves. So I hope that you will listen to my show and the Prism of America's Education, and listen to Bill Federer, because I'm going to have him back, and we're going to talk about these things. And one of the things that I do trust is Bill's incredible, incredible research. So the Prism is on every Saturday and Sunday, 7 and 9, on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
Sally. Thank you so
most
much.
Most paid almost $30 million in reparations in today's
okay,
money.
Okay, we're not getting into
that. 1969.
Okay.
$30 million.
Hold that thought. Make sure. I'll let you repeat it one more time, because you started it, but we need to wrap up here. And then I want to let Joe announce the show so people can join it.
Okay, again, the Israelis paid in today's money in 1969 $30 million or so to the survivors of the U.S. Liberty and the families of the dead men in the U.S. government.
They were taken care of, because it was a horrible mistake. But it's war, and people get killed during war, and there's no way to make it go away. That's what happens. That's what war is about. And it doesn't matter whether they're the good guys or the bad guys, the innocent people are going to get killed.
Yes, unfortunately, the human creature is prone to the evilness, unfortunately. And again, read up Washington's farewell address. He talks about the evilness of the political parties, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, Joe, go ahead and announce your show real quick, because you're getting it ready to start in just a few minutes here.
Yeah, I'm going to put it up. Right after American Statesman, come to blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson, Restoring Our Republic. Anybody can talk, free for all. Just, no, please, no fighting with each other. No.
Yes,
thank
exactly.
you, Sally.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. It's been an excellent discussion. I think it's a very necessary discussion. We have to be open and honest with what's going on, and we need to understand what it's going to take to save our country. Please tune in next week. We will continue this discussion with some other topics in there, and be good to each other. God bless America. Please contact your representatives and the speakers and the senators and demand change. Thank you so much. Good night, everyone. God bless America. Say a prayer for America. I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. Thank you.